Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Great. Please take your seats if you have a Bible with you. Would you open it to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark? I want to really run into some scripture here. The more I study the word, the longer I've been in Christ, the more fascinating this story is to me. The more difficult to understand the angle that this precious woman had. And I pray that I'll meet her in heaven. And that's the woman with the issue of blood. The 5th chapter of the book of Mark. And here's the interesting thing, you know, we should really rename it the woman without the issue of blood. She's known because of what she carried until she met Jesus. And then everything changed, but we still know her pre-encounter, which is very interesting. I want us to run, because for some of you, this story may not be as familiar as it is for me. So we'll just work it through really quickly. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. A woman bursts on the scene, it says, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather grew worse after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she said, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around in the crowd, and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude pressing on you. You say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. What an amazing, amazing story. That a woman who'd heard just, what could she have heard? That there was a healing Jesus or whatever, and that there was this guy, this rabbi, who's going to be walking through town. And somehow on the inside of her, she, like, where did she get this from? That's one of the things that staggers me. You read and read and read this scripture. I've studied this scripture over. I've seen it happen. I've played the movie of it in my mind. I've seen how she was on the floor, and so Jesus, when he's looking around, couldn't see her. I've seen all sorts of just things. I've played it 50, 60 different ways in my mind, in my prayer time. Ask the Holy Spirit to help me, give me divine revelation. And still, there is just, it's just, the mystery just grows. That a woman sitting could hear a little bit. You think how much we know about our Messiah and how little we put into action. And she's doing the exact opposite. She's heard a tiny bit about Jesus and she's made this thing up. She says, right, my point of contact is going to be the hem of his garment. And as I was praying on my way coming, I saw that this miracle here can be a template for how we address the year of pressing and the decade that's to follow. And the way I saw it was that, you see, for this woman, it was an issue of blood. It was an issue of sickness. Now, we know, looking back at the cross, that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, right? We have that assurance. And therefore, we fight for it. We press for it. The Bible says, and coming behind in the press. I love reading this in the King James because it brings an air of pressure to the situation. The Bible says that the woman came behind in the press. and touch the hem of his garment. So there was pressure against her. There was a legal issue against her. It was illegal for her to be in that crowd doing what she was doing because she had a hemorrhage. She could have been stoned to death. She could have been prosecuted. She could have been even further ostracized from her community, but she pressed forward. Now, we know four major blessings of the cross: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. Those four things were won at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, to him who saved us for our sins and washed us in his own blood, to him be the glory. So we know that salvation happened at the cross when Jesus' blood was shed, right? Okay, so that might be a salvation issue that we need for this year. There may be a part of us that's not fully saved. Salvation, you know, it's a process that happens instantly at the cross. The Bible says we were saved, or we are saved, and then it says that we are being saved, and then it says we shall be saved. So there are effectively three salvations in the one salvation that begins at the cross, right? So there may be a salvation issue in your heart, in your life, in your character, or in my life, in my heart, my character, that I need dealing with in this year of pressing, that I need to really press into. There will be pressure against it, but I know that it's already been bought and paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. Right? So that's our salvation. Then there's healing. The Bible says he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement necessary for us to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So it was at the cross, again, that he was lashed and wounded and bruised for our iniquities, so that by his stripes we could be healed. So healing is a matter of history. It's not just a matter of fact, it's a matter of history. By his stripes we were healed. So I could put it this way: I was healed before I was born. Or let me put it this way, more understandable: I was the healed before I was born. So therefore, anytime sickness tries to attack my body, I fight for it. Why? Because I know it's mine. Right? Poverty. The Bible says, although he was rich, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, although he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Well, when was he poor? The only time he was poor in his entire life. A guy who can turn water into wine isn't a poor guy. A guy who's known as the builder's son. I mean, builders back then, you know, the carpenter's son, they used to build houses, etc., etc. Then I still don't know a poor builder. Anyone here know a poor builder? Even the rubbish ones are rich. So there's prosperity all through the life of Jesus. A guy who can feed 5,000. How is that poverty? It's impossible. A guy whose seamless robe, if you've ever, has anyone ever like cast lots for any of your clothes? I mean, I wear designer stuff, I love designer brands, but can you imagine that a centurion and other soldiers would be gambling for the clothes of Jesus at the cross? That's proper riches. Right? So there was everything at his disposal. Jesus, in his life and in his ministry, was not a poor man, but yet for our sakes, he became poor. And that word poor in the Greek, utter poverty. That literally hanging naked on the cross, as poor can be, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. So riches belong to me. The label rich belongs to me. So therefore, if poverty tries to attack me, I'll fight for my prosperity. Amen. Why? Because it's been bought. The one who saved me from my sins and washed me in his own blood and healed me is also the one who prospers me. So it belongs to me. It's mine by right. It's mine by covenant. I am the seed of Abraham. And I am blessed. I am entitled to prosperity. Prosperity is mine. It's mine. So therefore, anything coming against my prosperity, I'm going to fight against it. Likewise, ambassadorship. The Bible says that God gave us. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm not just a son of God. I am the very righteousness of God itself. So that's a big demand on my life. That's a very big demand. Anything that comes against that thing, I'm going to fight it. Well, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Doors open for me. Doors don't close. They open for me. When I'm going to preach the gospel in a country, the doors open for me in Jesus' mighty name, and no devil in hell can shut them. Everything that I need to get God's work done on the earth is available to me because I'm an ambassador for Christ across the nations. That's it. It's mine. It's a fight, and it's mine. Right. So where's the issue then? Where is the pressure? The Bible says the woman with the issue of blood came behind in the press, right? Where is the pressure? Let me just give you a little example here. Wafa P, if I can borrow you, sir, if that's okay, because I know you're the least devil person in the house. So I can use him as an illustration, everyone. Now, let's say Carly, let me borrow you here, right? Let's say that Carly represents all the blessings of the cross of Jesus Christ, right? The pressure against me comes from my enemy, the devil. That's why I chose him, because we know he's no devil. Hallelujah. You see, the pressure, I've got to sometimes get through him to get them, right? There is pressure from him. So what have I got to do? According to what the scripture says, I've got to wrestle him for those blessings. There's a promotion waiting for me. Why? Because the Bible says, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender to many nations and not the borrower. The Bible says that I'm blessed in my work, that the work of my hands is blessed. So anything coming against me in my workplace, I've got to know that it's not a flesh and blood. It's not that boss who hates you. It's the devil behind the boss. Anyone ever been hated for no reason in your workplace? Just put your hand up, wave it around. Why? It's a testimony. It means that you are effectively experiencing spiritual warfare. Now, the thing about spiritual warfare is that most Christians run away. And scripture says we've been given the victory. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord of our God and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph and manifests in us the sweet aroma of his presence. So there's a sweet smell of victory that comes from knowing Christ. So I've got to get to those blessings, knowing that I always triumph in Christ. Doesn't matter what the devil throws against me in my workplace, I know that blessing is mine. I know the bonus is mine. I know the promotion is mine. I know that favor is mine. And it's amazing how God does it. Because for every one who's against you, the Lord has put two or three above him or her, for you. And it's getting to that. It's shining in the face of the adversity that you face often in the workplace. Now, I'm using the workplace as an example, but it could be your health. It could be that the enemy's attacking you in one particular area of your health. Or it could be a salvation issue, that you've not been a very good steward of your physical body. You're letting it all hang out. You know, your physiology, here's one amazing thing. I had a problem in my neck for, wow, must have been nearly 20 years, where like I would get twinges down the right side of my neck. And in 2010, I started working out with Junior at the gym. A lot of you know Junior. And there's something about human physiology that when you really work your body, the way that your muscles then gather strength, they can put your body back into alignment. It's quite an amazing thing. that your muscular structure is there to effectively support your skeletal structure, your skeleton, that you can work those muscles and eventually, so it may not necessarily be the devil. It might be all the pizza, the donut, the too much turkey, too much whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? So we can't blame the devil for everything. We've got to be good stewards of our own being, but there is a fight sometimes. The devil will try and drop things in, generational things. Blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, Parkinson, Alzheimer's, blah, blah, blah. I'm still yet to find a disease that won't bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't find one in Scripture. So I know that the blessings of my healing are there. How do I get there? I've got to get there. I've got to find a way. If I have to go through him, so be it. Now, often, depending on your generational background, there can be other things. Let me borrow another couple of people. Let me borrow Mary, Madden, Roro. Right? Let's say that Mary Mad represents altars, right? And let's say that Roro represents curses, generational things, things that the enemy put there from long ago, right? Now, there's another thing as well. Alera, let me borrow you. I'm going to run out of people soon. Praise God. There's another thing which can be words. So the things that come out of my mouth, particularly if there has been any demonic altars in my generational background, that then there's been curses over my generations, etc., right? And then if I speak words that then activate that, and that has something to do with that, then I'm not only just fighting him, I'm fighting because the words have come out of my mouth. Where does the Bible say that death and life lie in the power of? In the tongue. So what's coming out of my mouth suddenly can trigger that, which then is empowered. Because this then becomes the jet fuel that then empowers that and that, and him, as a result, suddenly tying me in. So now I'm fighting all of them. So we've got to do ourselves a favor. We've got to get ourselves allied. This is what the woman with the issue of blood did. She started, you think about it, she started to align her words with a blessing that only God could have told her was there in Christ Jesus. That if I just touch the hem of his garment, what on earth has that got to do with anything on the planet? I've heard all this, you know, rabbinical this, rabbinical that. She didn't even know he was a rabbi. There's some healing dude coming by. She says, wow, there's something about this guy. Got to meet him. Got to touch the hem of his garment. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made. What was she doing? She was effectively writing her own means of escape with her mouth. Isn't that amazing? The moment she said it, heaven agreed. It's amazing what God will agree to. Absolutely amazing. You align yourself with him, then he'll agree to something like that. Boom, the whole thing is triggered. These things are bound. They're broken. He's totally out of the way. He's running for his life because he doesn't know what's happening next. And then the blessing as a result is mine. Does that make sense? Thank you, guys. And that is effectively what we can put into operation in this year of pressing. There are blessings for us. There are things, there are enablers. You know the way you get, you've got a little problem with your computer or you need to be able to do something and they tell you, oh, download a plugin. You ever heard that word, a plugin? That literally it's just a piece of software that helps you to connect to the thing. Well, you know, heaven has plugins. There are blessings, just as there can be generational curses, there can be generational blessings. There can be things that your parents and grandparents did for the Lord generations ago that you know nothing about that are triggered and activated in the lives not only of you but in your children and your children's children. Bible says the blessing of God will last 1,000 generations. So it's remarkable how far we can get in God with the right outlook. That we can go before God, Father, in this year of pressing, I am going to whatever it is, whatever vow you're making, whatever covenant that you're making with God, I'm going to put this into action. I'm going to make sure that my prayer time is spent pressing in. I'm going to make sure that my word time, nothing is disturbing my word time this year. I'm going to put my phone on silent. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to give it to the dog. Whatever you have to do with your phone so you won't be distracted in those times where it's you and God and his word, and you're going to press in. I'm going to worship you for at least 5 minutes. I'm going to be nice to people on the road. Jesus. I'm going to be... whatever it is, do you see what I mean? I'm going to up my giving. I'll never forget one time when because I give a certain amount every offering wherever I am. I just give. That's my standard thing, unless God speaks to me for more, right? And I remember sitting there. It was I can't remember. It was like 20 quid a service or something like that. And I was sitting there and I was just giving my offering. And God says, "Well, this year it's not 20, it's 30." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Inflation." That's what he said, inflation. Yeah. I thought, wow, man, that's hyperinflation. Lord, come here quick. Let's have a chat. But whatever it is, whatever vows it is that you're making, I'm going to work in God's house. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make sure I do something every week for the poor. You don't know what kind of vow that is before God. There's certain things, the Bible says, that rise before God as a memorial. And you've got a memorial before God. Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff. So I want us to do that. I want us to take this year of pressing as something that we are going to respond to God in whichever area that's necessary. Salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship, and just run with it in the year to come. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you so much and we praise you for the way that you've positioned us. We praise you for the way that you have aligned us. We thank you, Lord God, for the great things that you've done. Lord God, when we look back on this decade and what you did in us, on us, through us, with us, Lord God, we can't but give you praise. Thank you, precious Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that this blessing will continue. That, Lord, what you established in the decade gone before, as we enter this new one, Lord God, we pray that we enter it closer with you, more able to fight the good fight, more willing to wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in high places, that we may get, Lord God, not only that what's for us, but Father, what's for our nation too. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your voice has gone out into all the earth. We give you praise and glory for it. Let your banner be raised and your glory be seen, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you.